How are you? It's a nice day. It is. It's really nice. How about I pray and we'll share a bit about what God might be saying today. Father, I thank you that we have the chance to come together today to celebrate and to be encouraged and challenged to follow you as the Good Shepherd. Thanks, you have a plan and a purpose for us, that you guide, protect and challenge us so that we can stay on the path that you want us to. I pray that you would give me the words to say and that we would hear what you want us to know so that we can continue that journey in your Son's mighty name. Amen. Probably just a quick update on me. I've finished my role as the CEO of Fusion Australia and enjoying a sabbatical, for want of a better word. The sabbatical is when you're supposed to learn stuff. I'm just bludging. Well, that's what Karen says anyway. I'm busily staying out of the way. I'm still with Fusion. Busily staying out of the way and just quietly reviewing policies or documents and proposals and giving advice to the new boss. And letting her decide what she needs to do. So it's a really nice phase. On one level, I can celebrate the fact that they don't miss me. They know how to get on and do their job, which is fantastic. Over the next month, we'll work out what we're going to do with Fusion next, in particular for Karen. She wants to take on a greater role, and I'll just stay quietly in the background for a bit, which is really nice. And along the way, probably pick up a little bit of consultancy for other people. So, and I might actually get paid for that. Who knows? A missionary worker that gets money. So that's a bit of me. We're going to look at what it means to be a leader and a follower today. And I don't know if you've heard this one before, but what do you call a leader that has no followers? Someone who's going for a walk. And in the current political environment, possibly in Australia, but particularly in America, which seems to be very entertaining, you've got to wonder who is actually following. Like, it's crazy. And in fact, that was the question that, well, this is the challenge that Jesus was giving the people of the day when he was talking. It's important to remember that this passage is preceded by Jesus actually healing a blind person. And the Pharisees, who are one of the leadership group of the country, were really annoyed that their rules were broken. How dare you heal someone on a Sabbath? So, you know, within a group like this, I'm sure someone's got an illness of some description. Could you imagine if, you know, we prayed for you and then the leadership got annoyed that we actually healed you on a Sunday? I mean, that's the setting that we're talking about. So these guys were so busy with their rules, they forgot what God was actually on about. But they were in charge of the people. They were meant to be giving leadership and guidance to them. So John was trying to help us remember that God sent Jesus to be the Good Shepherd, to lead us, so that we would follow. It's important to remember that Jesus, who is the leader, if we agree or not, he's still the leader. You can deny it, but that doesn't stop the fact that he was the creator. He created this for us. He created this so that we would have a relationship, this whole world, that we would have a relationship with him as a pleasure, as something that's joyous and beautiful. And then he was brave enough, if it was you and me, we wouldn't do it this way, for us to choose if we wanted it or not. And for when we stuffed it up, to give us a way out So it's not a surprise that this shepherd actually lays down his life. This leader will give up his life so that we have a chance to regain that relationship with God. It's amazing. And we get to share that over the next couple of weeks. Easter's coming. It's coming really quick, isn't it? In the next couple of weeks. So we will focus on that more. But it's important to remember he did this because he loved us and loves us. So Jesus is a creator. He's personable. And that's why we pray. We don't pray because we're trying to seek favour. We're praying because we want to maintain a relationship. To talk, to listen, and just to be. To hang out. I don't know about you, but I don't actually always have to talk to Karen. She would wish I would say talk more sometimes and less other times. But there are times where it's just good to hang out together, just to enjoy each other's company. God's like that too, like just hang out with me. This is what he really wants. And he does that because he's really loving. And he does that because he's all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. There are important Latin words around that, but that'll do. And ultimately, he wants us to be with him forever. And we have a choice. We have the opportunity to recognize Jesus as Lord and follow him. So he's the leader. He is the good shepherd. And this imagery is presented because we can get that. We understand that. There are two aspects about following or being sheep, about following. And Leon last week identified... Hang on a second. So we talked about Jesus as the leader. Sheep follow. In Psalm 23... if we look, there are two particular things that we pick up about the shepherd. He protects and guides us. He has two tools, a rod and a staff. The staff's got the hook on the end, and that's literally to drag you out when you're in trouble. Who's ever been like that? If you haven't, it'll come, guarantee it. And the day is still young. I remember a few years ago, my first occasion at trying to organise a mission outreach, and I wanted our local church to get involved, and they said they were committed to help both raise the funds and actually contribute people come and join it. And my mate was the youth pastor, and he was going to announce it during the announcement section. And I was sitting in the church waiting for him to say all this good stuff about it, and he said nothing. And I spent the rest of the church service seething, really angry. This is a good friend. He didn't say this thing. He didn't say what I wanted him to say. And I thought, that's it. This mission's stuffed. And right at the end of the service, he said, oh, I meant to get John up to talk about this thing. And it was fantastic. It was God slapping me in the face and said, it was my plan, not yours. It's my mission, it's not yours. He dragged me with his crook and brought me back to his point. So if it was halfway through the sermon, halfway through the thing, people might not have paid enough as much attention for this thing. And so people came up and gave money and said, can I be part of this? And it was fantastic. And it was just me needing to get slapped around to realise, A, why would I not trust God in this? And B, hey, I should go along with his path, not my path. So, look, that's a gentle, nice one. You've got lots of other stories. The rod is to protect us. There are a range of values and frameworks that God has in place for his kingdom that he wants us to live by. They're in his book. We should apply them. There are a bunch of values that if we apply them, they will work. The last week we talked about the I am Jesus being the gate or the door, that's a small place to go through, but the place he leads us into is huge. The boundaries are big boundaries. There's a lot of room to do stuff. God's kingdom is enormous. There's a lot you can do safely. We tend to keep going towards the edge and seeing how far towards that edge we can go. I do. I don't. Maybe you don't. And then we try and live right on the edge and sit on the other side of the fence and see what it's like and realise that was really painful and come back in. But it's just stay in the middle. And there's plenty of space, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing if you want to talk about sexuality, if you want to talk about provision, if you want to talk about all these other things. God will look after us, and he promises us and reminds us and reminds us and reminds us because we need to be reminded. But it's a big space. His pasture is great. And he also wants us to rest a bit more than we do, particularly in our society these days. A friend of mine runs a trust program and a trust blog, and she said, God's given us 24 hours in a day. What are we doing with that? We normally ask for more. It's like, well, what are you doing with what you've got? How are you spending your time? And particularly, how are you spending your time with God? I find it a struggle, and particularly when I was in my role, I'm reflecting on it a fair bit these days. There are times when I was so busy trying to do the work, I forgot that God was with me in the work. And you don't have to be a missionary to worry about that. You need to do that all the time. If you're a parent, if you're as a son or as a daughter, or as an employee or as an employer, as a commuter, as hanging out at the pub, whatever it is, the challenge, the invitation is to actually do it with God. And the times they get frustrated and annoyed and all that kind of stuff is normally the time I forgot God in that thing. Does that make sense? So if we are to follow, Psalm 23 is not a bad example. He guides us in tough times. He gently or more severely nudges us sometimes so that we can actually end up in these kind of places. That's what he wants to do. But he sends us into some of the challenging, difficult places so that we can learn and grow. He doesn't put us there because he doesn't like us. He does it because he wants us to grow and learn from those experiences. He wants us to be better at being his sons and daughters. So my first question is, how are you going at following Jesus? And what is it that he might want you to do that would improve that? Just the one thing. Today, tomorrow, what will you now do differently? The next question I have for you relates to the implications of, did you know that sheep follow sheep? They do. And as much as people like my daughter and others would like to say, people shouldn't pay attention to me, we all do. We all do. So how are you going at being a sheep that is followed? It's like being on Twitter without having to be on Twitter. We actually look at each other all the time. And it's possible you could go, hey, they did it wrong, so why can't I do it wrong? That argument doesn't hold up in a kingdom economic. It just doesn't work. If you know that's wrong, that's the reason why you should do it right. So, when Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd and saying, that there are hired hands and stuff, he's actually referring to the Pharisees. And there's an allusion back to Ezekiel chapter 34. When you go with your Bible study and you read through this one, if you haven't already, it's very confronting. Because through the prophet Ezekiel, God's speaking and saying, you leaders of Israel in the Old Testament, you're doing a terrible job. You've forgotten, and we see this in leadership all around the world, you've forgotten that leadership isn't about you getting stuff, it's about looking after your people. And how are you going about looking after your people? You're not meant to trample all the good grass and take it all for yourself and go down to the stream and muddy it all up and make it horrible so you can't drink any water. You're meant to actually lead people there so that they can get all the good, healthy stuff. And because you won't, you'll be punished for it. Leaders, if you want to be in leadership, you're held to a higher standard, even from God's perspective. So that's a challenge. That's another reason why we should be praying for the leadership of our church and for all of Christianity. For all of Christianity. All of God's people in leadership. But the other interesting thing is we're actually all in leadership. My definition of leadership is helping other people take effective action. So people are looking to me to know, how am I going? People are looking to you to know how you're going, if they're older, young, or whatever, and that helps influence them to, it helps influence us to maintain our Christian walk. So we're looking around all the time. How are we going? What's the thing that you're doing that's either going to help someone fall off a cliff or stay safe in the middle? And we do these things, and we're not even aware that we're being watched. You know, I'm dumb enough to tell you all my mistakes. Hey, you make your own. That's the challenge. What are we doing, A, to recognise that God is real, and then turning that into our practice, and when we're stuffing up saying, I got it wrong, and getting up and going again, and seeing and helping other people along the way? You don't have to be in leadership to do that. Welcoming at the front door. There's a great Bible study you can still do on the 15th and the 22nd of March. If you're interested, come and talk to Jamie or myself on welcoming and hospitality. That is providing leadership. The leadership of this service is actually just not done by the people up front. There's a whole process behind. Leadership is being provided by a whole range of people behind the scenes that you don't even know about, that gives you the capacity to do what you're doing. And some of them are in offices in far-flung lands who are managing our insurance and other seemingly boring things, but they're necessary. So we're actually influencing each other. How are you going at that? What is the one or two things that you could do that will make it different? That will make it better for someone. You know, we talk about our sins of omission and our sins of commission, the things that we do and the things that we fail to do. So are we remembering how we can, when you get that prompting, and I know you get that little prompting that says, hey, maybe you should ring that person or send them flowers or invite them around for whatever. And you, oh, no, I'm too busy. I've got to watch the football, which I do this afternoon at 4:00. But would you give up? See, last week I had the opportunity to go to South Sydney's. I'm a South Sydney member and a fan. Had the opportunity to go to South Sydney's annual general meeting, the first time ever. You have to be a member for 3 years before you can turn up. And I was really excited, and I was on set up here. And you think, set up, who cares? You know? Yeah, exactly. So what's more important? Well, I figured I should come and set up. South Sydney survived. Does that make sense? The little things are the things that matter. So what are you going to do that are going to help others? What's the small thing that you're going to do that's going to help others? That's what I want to leave you with. How are you going at following, and what are you doing to help others to follow? Because the people that are watching are also the people who are still trying to work out if they want to follow sometimes. And there's lots of them. And they need Jesus. That's why he came on this planet. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Everything else is just dirt and dust and useless when you get down to it. D.T. Niles, who was a Christian evangelist, said, "Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where the bread is." Evangelism is the good news about Jesus. We're all evangelists. We all live and breathe the good news about Jesus. That's all this is about. There's no real heroes, or we're all heroes. We're all just followers. So how are you going at following? Let's pray. Father, thanks that you love us. Thanks that you have called us to follow you. And you give, and you guide us, discipline us, lead and challenge us through lots of what feels like really tough and difficult times, so that we will grow up. We will be your children. And we will be in your kingdom, in your pasture. Help us to get better at talking with you and listening and spending time so that we get good at doing it with others as well. That we are attuned to your words and your heart and your purpose for us, and that makes such a difference. Help us to see and hear the other sheep, and to celebrate and challenge life for them as well. Don't let us go, God. Amen.